Cantrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up, deep ball down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz, 35, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants!
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul to the 10, to the 5, touchdown Giants!
There goes Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go! He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants! 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. As the gentleman said, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you for the next hour, talking everything Big Blue. This is Big Blue Kickoff Live. Phone lines will be open throughout the show. 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. A lot to talk about, and the Giants, Paul, off yesterday. A much-needed day off, I'm sure, and back in action today. I guess the big storyline going into Tuesday here at the Giants facility is Hakeem Nicks is ready to practice finally.
Yeah, Hakeem Nicks fighting a tight groin is actually supposed to be on the practice field today. We're expecting full pads as well, which is always the better practices to watch if you're coming out as a fan. And the thing about Nicks is he's made very clear to everybody time and time again, this is strictly a precautionary thing as to why he's on the sidelines. He understands his body. He knows he's got to be ready for the Cowboys opening day. And he's not going to push anything to make anything worse than it is. He says every day he comes in, he checks with the trainers. The trainers kind of tell him where he is. And they pretty much decide, okay, you know what, take it easy today. We'll think about it tomorrow. Tom Coughlin, on the other hand, is a little frustrated because he'd like to have guys get as many reps as they can.
Right. So let's talk about that wide receiver position, specifically with what's going on with Hakeem Nicks. Funny, I was golfing yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, I was golfing. So, yeah, I know. Imagine that, me golfing. So I was golfing with a friend of mine, and we were paired up with this other twosome. And one of the guys, of course, realizing what I did, the first thing he asked me was, what's wrong with Hakeem Nicks? Why isn't he practicing? Is he going to be ready for the season? How good is he going to be this year? I mean, that was like, and I was just bombarded with questions about Hakeem Nicks. And I'd say that's a reoccurring theme with me when I talk to folks, Giants fans, friends, family. Everybody wants to know about Hakeem Nicks. Now, this is my response to them, and that is Hakeem Nicks is fine. In fact, he's better than fine. I think he's going to be absolutely tremendous this season. I just think he's just being very cautious. This is a contract year for him. This is a tremendous year. Now, let's look a few miles south of here. What happened with Jeremy Maclin? Okay? Contract year for Jeremy Maclin, and he goes down. So, and this is that was the Eagles' number one wide receiver. So, in a year like this where it is really risk-reward, we saw Joe Flacco made the risk last year, and he certainly got rewarded, but it is a risk. Jeremy Maclin took the risk. Unfortunately, he got injured. ACL tear. He's out for the season. It's kind of the same situation that Hakeem Nicks is in right now, in that he needs to be very careful. Health has never been more important going into a season and playing through a season than it has for Hakeem Nicks, and he's just being cautious. But with that being said, I have big, hefty expectations for Hakeem Nicks this season.
As well you should. And also, remember something too, Anita. It wasn't like Hakeem Nicks and Eli Manning hadn't done anything during the offseason. While Nicks was not here during the voluntary portion of the offseason program, he was here for the mandatory minicamp, and he also went down to the Manning passing camp earlier this summer to work with Eli. So it's not as if these guys haven't seen each other for 6 months and they got to kind of shake the rust off. Nicks and Manning have had their throws already. They've got some semblance of chemistry and timing down as they go into the preseason. And by the way, regardless of if Nicks practices today or tomorrow or the next day, whatever it may be, they're playing Pittsburgh in the preseason opener on Saturday. I don't know if I'd even play him against the Steelers, to be honest with you. If he's only going to take a few snaps at practice, all right, hold him out to week two of the preseason. No big deal.
I mean, I can understand where head coach Tom Coughlin is frustrated. You know, he wants as many guys out there as possible, playing, getting reps. But I don't get the sense that this coaching staff is too concerned right now with the health of Hakeem Nicks. I think that they're kind of in the same boat I am, where they're expecting really big things from him this year.
Well, you know what I think it is, Anita, if I can interrupt for 1 second. Coach always wants to see guys on the practice field, and I think he believes that if he doesn't at least give the impression that he's bristling a little bit. He's, you know, it's backing off, mm-hmm. and he wants, and it would show a sign of weakness as a coach to the other players. Oh, you know, why didn't you get on him a little bit for not being in practice? I almost think it's something that he feels he has to do as a coach, regardless of whether or not he's really that upset about it.
201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in on Big Blue Kickoff Live. If you have any questions, comments for myself or Paul Dottino, now is the time to do it. 201-939-4513. Also, we'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. If you've got a question or comment for us, make sure you include that hashtag GiantsChat, and we will read your question and answer it here on the program. So in looking at this wide receiving core, I think, you know, I always try to look at a silver lining when it comes to a player who potentially might be injured or what the situation is.
Right.
And because Hakeem Nicks has been out really the majority of training camp, we've seen a lot of Reuben Randall. And I know that he has been really the talk of the town, especially after the first week of training camp. And you know, I don't know if he would have gotten as many reps. I don't know if we would have seen so much of Reuben Randall if Hakeem Nicks would not have been injured. So, and not really injured, just a groin tweak. But but Reuben Randall's been absolutely tremendous, Paul.
Better than tremendous. He has been the star of the offense during training camp. And when you're talking about some really talented players on this team, that says a lot. The one thing about him, Anita, that I have found to be quite different, and, you know, the coaches will tell you about his work ethic in the film room and also his attention to detail on the field. But as I talk to him a little bit this camp, he seems humbled. I really believe that perhaps during his rookie season when he came in here thinking, okay, I'm a number two draft choice and I have certain rights because I'm a number two draft choice, I think he was maybe a little arrogant, a little cocky, and maybe that contributed, you know, along with the immaturity, to him not producing as much as a rookie. But he seems humble to me. And anybody who's humbled is going to work harder because they want respect and they have some pride in what they do. And I sense that attitude adjustment in him just by talking to him.
201-939-4513, the phone number, talking wide receivers, is Hakeem Nicks getting ready to practice today for Big Blue. Exciting stuff. Fans, if you are coming out to the Giants facility for practice, it kicks off at 1:30 this afternoon and goes till, what, 3:45?
3:45.
Right? Weather looks great, right?
Absolutely. We're going to be about 80 degrees today.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm calling up my weather app here just so I can kind of get the hourly. So sunny, sunny, sunny. Some clouds come in around 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, but no rain in the forecast. Highs today, 80 at 3 p.m. this afternoon, but around 75, 77 throughout practice. So it should be a beautiful day if you do plan on making the trip here to check out the Giants today. Let's talk about Ramses Barden. I know this is a guy that you've been really high on since camp opened. You were here all weekend. I was not. This is my first day back here at Giants camp. Talk about Ramses Barden, and is he still impressing you as he has at the beginning of camp, Paul?
Ramses Barden has had one drop throughout the entire course of training camp that I've seen, and I've been watching him very carefully. He's making every catch known to mankind. He's running his routes very well. The one thing he did not do well the other day in the end zone drill, he didn't fight for the ball. And he allowed the shorter cornerback to make a play and knock the ball down, which is always going to be a problem for Ramses Barden because he does not fight for the ball well. And that's one of the reasons why people say he's never going to be good on the fade route or down into the end zone, because corners are going to be able to battle him and out-muscle him for the football. Ramses Barden does not attack the football. However, during the courses of the 7-on-7s, and even some of the 11s-on-the-11s, when the Giants, remember, there's hardly any hitting going on in this flag football training camp, Ramses Barden has room to operate. And what do we know about Ramses Barden, Anita? When Ramses Barden has room, he can be productive. He can play. The nature of this flag football training camp plays in to Ramses Barden's game. Now, when he gets into games against the competition and they start chucking him at the line and he can't get separation and they're grabbing him and they're doing all kinds of things to stick to him, that's when he becomes much less productive. So Here it is. He's having a great summer, a great training camp, making acrobatic catches, glue on his hands. Clearly, to me, he's by far the fifth best wide receiver or most productive wide receiver. He's clearly one of the top five over the course of the summer. But, again, they're not playing against physical defensive backs right now. And that's going to be the real story for him. The other thing is, the Giants the other day, and clearly keeping in mind that he has been good at receiver, put him on the kickoff coverage team. He was on the left side inside the gunner, and he was on the coverage units. Now, again, there's no hitting going on. So is it fair to judge him on the way he just ran down the field and guys were trying to block him and he wasn't able to make the tackle? I don't know. But the point is, he was on the kickoff coverage team, which tells me the coaches are trying to find a way to see if he could do anything on special teams that would enhance his value and maybe get him a roster spot. Really, he's up against Jarrell Jernigan, to be perfectly frank with you. And if Jarrell Jernigan can do anything, which he hasn't been able to do at all, you know, that's going to be a hell of a battle.
So Keith Carlos, you're taking him out of the equation. You don't feel that that's...
I don't see him making this team.
Okay.
I see him as a potential practice squad guy. And Chris Adams is another receiver who I think is a potential practice squad guy. He's another one of those, as Jerry Reese likes to say, Spider-Men. I call them skyscrapers. 6'3", big guy, long arms, goes and gets the ball.
But right now, we know the four.
We do.
We know the four. You're saying that they're only going to carry five on the roster.
I think it's really hard for them to carry six, given the factors at quarterback, three.
Right.
Defensive tackle. Some people think they may be trying to keep five. Linebackers, six. DBs, nine, maybe ten. It's going to be tough.
So Ramsey's Barden, Jarrell Jernigan, that those two guys, that's a battle to watch to see who's going to make it on the roster.
That's how I see it.
And whoever kind of brings more clout, more help to the special teams unit, that very well might be the guy who makes it.
Yeah, could okay. be. Sure.
All right, again, 201-939-4513. Let's go out to Jason calling in from Montana. Jason wants to talk about Hakeem Nicks. Jason, welcome.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, definitely made some good points about those six receivers. Obviously, it would be probably the best thing since Jernigan and Barden are both, you know, they're basically veterans. So, but however, you know, Barden's always looked like a rock star in practice. It's just getting him on the field to play that way, which he played well that one game that he had to come in last year, but. I really think this preseason is going to have to determine a lot of things. The next thing is about Nicks. You know, I think he needs to exactly take it easy coming in. You know, I'd rather have a healthy Nicks than have a Nicks with a nagging injury. So, you know, maybe, yes, limit his time in preseason. Maybe get him in there for that last one. But definitely he needs to take it easy on that groin.
Well, I think he feels the same way, and I don't blame him. And you know, I'll say one other thing about Hakeem Nicks. He does have a lot of pride. And last year, he played through a lot. And he was very disappointed and very hurt by how it affected his performance. And he knows the criticisms that he took for not playing well during the second half of the season. And it really bugged him. Bugged him a lot.
Yeah, because he made it a goal to get back by the game one, which, you know, maybe he should have taken it a little easier on that foot, you know, let it heal nice. Because, you know, you have one injury, that's going to cause multiple injuries because your body's trying to compensate for that one injury.
Well, there you go.
So,
and really, that's what it comes down to. Hakeem Nicks is now a smarter player who at this stage of his career realizes that maybe I'm going to do more harm than good if I really push myself. And again, there's a difference between pushing yourself and just trying to get out there and showing that you're a gamer. There is a difference
yeah.
there. Have a good day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jason,
right,
thank you. 201-939-4513. You want to get in on the show. Jason made an interesting point, Paul, because I think we saw this last year. With Hakeem Nicks trying to come back too fast, too quickly, and then what happens? Your entire body starts to compensate because the foot wasn't right. So then the hamstring hurt, and then the knee injury came, and he continued to play with a knee injury, and then Giants fans out there, and I know that this has been a hot topic, just trust that health wise, I think Hakeem Nicks learned something last year, and he's implementing that this year, and that is he needs to make sure he can't rush himself back. He needs to make sure that he feels good and his body is strong. In order to, because we know what he can do. We know how he can produce. We know what he means to this offense.
And at this point in time, the Giants are also getting extra reps for Lewis Murphy, too, who is another guy who could be a very dangerous part of this offense. Comes in from Carolina as a free agent. He's a speed guy. We've talked about how he's supposed to replace the Mario Manningham component. Well, he's getting more reps as well, because Nicks is on the sidelines right now, and don't you want he and Eli to kind of form something as early as possible? That's not a bad thing.
Andrew from Big Blue, just sent us a message on Twitter. Again, you can find us on Twitter, at Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, you're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. He wants to know, who are we just talking about? Who are they putting as kickoff coverage to see if they're versatile enough? You were talking about Ramsey's Barden.
Well, kickoff coverage is a very, very difficult thing to do right now because you have 90 players in training camp. And you know, okay, certain guys are your key gunners or your key special teams guys. Somebody like Spencer Paisinger, he's going to be on special teams. He's going to be a big part of this special teams unit. Ryan Mundy from the Pittsburgh Steelers has been a special teams demon for several years in this league, and when the Giants signed him, that was one of the primary reasons they brought him in here. So you know certain guys for sure are going to be on the kick coverage units. But then the other thing is, in the first couple of preseason games especially, as you're trying to whittle down this roster and finding out who on the back end, who are the bubble guys who may be able to contribute on specials, those are the guys you're going to play in the first couple of preseason games, because you got to know. You need to find out. So don't pay attention so much to the name players. Ramsey's Barden, unfortunately, for him, he's on the bubble, I believe. And so he needs to show that he can do something on special teams coverage units to prove that he's got the versatility to be on the final 53. But all these other names that, you know, you're probably asking me now, I'm guessing that part of this question is, what name guys do we expect to see there? Most of the guys on special teams coverage units over the first couple of preseason games, you probably will not recognize, because those guys are number 60 trying to get into the 53. You know, he's number 65 trying to get himself into the talk about maybe making the practice squad. You follow? I mean, it's not the name guys you should be looking at on special teams in the first couple of preseason games.
201-939-4513. Paul, let's move over to the tight end position. This is a position that, and again, granted, I was here 2 days last week, and those 2 days, Adrian Robinson just looked absolutely tremendous. Everything I'm reading about Brandon Myers is fantastic. Tight end coach Mike Pope, I spoke to him briefly the other day, and he's thrilled as well. The development, obviously, the Giants drafted Adrian Robinson. The development, Pope has been a part of it since day one. He's thrilled with what he's seen so far. And Brandon Myers, you know, I think Brandon Myers, unless you played a lot of fantasy football like I did, I think Brandon Myers was kind of low on the radar. I mean, who watches the Oakland Raiders? No disrespect to the organization, but number one, especially for us out here on the East Coast, you know, we don't watch a lot of West Coast games, first of all. I feel that a lot of people out in the East Coast don't watch a lot of West Coast games. And on top of that, if you do, it's usually the San Francisco 49ers, maybe the Seattle Seahawks last year because of Russell Wilson.
Possibly the Chargers and Phillip Rivers.
Really?
Possibly.
Really?
I'm not a big fan, but some people are.
I don't know anybody who watches. No. but
come on, you watch every game.
But with that being said, I think Brandon Myers is kind of the tight end that kind of flew low on the radar. Now, I was very aware of him because I play in like 12 fantasy football leagues, and I owned him. I picked him up off the free agent waiver wire, and I owned him in quite a few, and because he was serviceable. This isn't a guy that obviously a lot of people went out and drafted. I think a lot of people are going to draft him this year. Low-end fantasy tight end for most people. I'm sure a lot of people in New York are going to draft him because he's a Giants football player. But with that being said, this guy's talented. He played well. He had a shoulder injury last year, and he still played extremely well. If you look at his stats, the combination of him and Adrian Robinson, I think, can do fantastic things in this offense. We've always said the NFL is a copycat league. Not to say that Kevin Gilbride is a copycat type of offensive coordinator, but when you have these two types of tight ends who can run very well, create space, catch everything and anything that's thrown to them, I would imagine that Gilbride is already kind of the hamster is running, the wheel is spinning.
You know what's interesting about this for me, Anita? I don't know how many footballs Eli Manning's going to be able to throw on each given play, but he's got so many folks to look at. Between the receivers we talked about before, Myers is obviously a very important threat for them. And Adrian Robinson, he hasn't dropped a pass all camp. His hands have been like glue. And, you know, he's a big guy, about 6'4", has an unbelievable wingspan. Mike Pope the other day was talking about not only is he taller than probably most defensive backs in this league, throw in the wingspan, and oh, by the way, he can actually jump. He's a big guy who's got athleticism and jumping ability. He can get off the ground. I'm wondering why he's not playing basketball, to be perfectly honest with you. And, you know, Mike was saying, I just don't know anybody that's going to be able to defend him in the red zone if he's going up to try to catch a touchdown pass. Mike is very excited about this kid. And right now, you know, he's running as the second tight end because Bear Pasco is playing fullback in the absence of Henry Hanoski, who's got the knee injury. Now, the dynamic I'm looking for here is what happens when Hanoski eventually comes back? And that's going to be a couple of weeks into the season, I think. Do you think
Hanoski's going to start off on the PUP?
I think there's a good chance of that.
Which means that he wouldn't be available until week six.
Right.
After week six.
Good chance of it, but he thinks not. He thinks he's going to make it back by maybe the second or third week, but the Giants may not have that luxury to wait, and
right.
So they may just PUP him. So then Pasco's the fullback at the beginning of the year. But if he's not, let's say Hanoski's able to make it back by like the third week and the Giants don't PUP him. Well, now, has Robinson, with his stellar tight end play during the summer camp, moved ahead of Bear Pasco as the number two tight end? I think he probably has, Anita. He's been that good.
So then what happens with Bear?
So that Bear becomes the third string tight end and backup fullback. I mean, it's entirely possible that because he had to sub for Hanoski, he lost the ability to truly compete as the number two tight end, and Robinson will have beaten him.
But with all due respect to Bear, I mean, you know, I've been covering him now since I've been a part of this organization. You've been covering him as well. You know, what we're seeing from Adrian Robinson and Brandon Myers as receiving tight ends, I don't see Bear Pasco bringing that to the equation. His game to me is more so of a better blocking tight end than he is a receiving tight end.
They are much more dynamic, explosive, able to get downfield more than he is. There's no question that they have better receiving skills than Bear Pasco does. And I'm not saying that Robinson moving ahead of him is not deserved. What I'm saying is it's a matter of circumstances that has allowed Robinson to get extra snaps at tight end and perhaps give him the opportunity to show how good he can be and then move ahead of Pasco.
201-939-4513, the phone number. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and, of course, you monitoring Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat for any questions or comments. Big Blue, the Giants, off on Monday, back today. And the big news today, Hakeem Nicks back in action, dealing with a groin issue. But he said two thumbs up. He's ready to rock and roll today. And also, the guys are back into full pads. So they're going live. Some other news and notes and position battles to pay attention to, Paul Dottino, and that is what's going on at the linebacker position. Jaquan Williams, Pasinger, Herzlick, Rivers, kind of break this down for us. We're entering our second week into training camp. How have they looked? Who in your mind has impressed you the most?
Well, here's something very interesting, Anita. We talked about during the offseason how Jaquan Williams had the PCL injury last year. He suffered it in week six against San Francisco and missed the rest of the season. Missed a lot of the offseason program, too. Meanwhile, Spencer Pasinger wound up bulking up about 10 pounds, hasn't lost any speed, has been very, very good in the film room, and as a result, they get to training camp, and he's running with the ones, and Jaquan Williams is running with the twos. And Jaquan Williams says, well, I love to compete. I expect to be on the field every play. Let's see how it goes during the preseason games. I'll have a chance to show what I can do. He'll have a chance to show what he can do. And not so much throwing down the gauntlet, but certainly showing his pride in that he expects to be a starter on this team. Well, suddenly something happened over the weekend. And, Anita, I think it surprised a lot of us, but maybe it shouldn't have. The Giants started showing a two-linebacker set with Paisinger and Williams as the two linebackers. No Keith Rivers on the field, which I believe most of us think he's a three-down linebacker, but no. The Giants, and maybe this is going to be a matchup defense that they'll use against teams that have the ability to throw two receiving tight ends between the hash marks. They showed Paisinger and Williams both playing in the sub package as the two tight ends, with both guys having the ability to cover a tight end, and both guys having the ability to potentially rush the passer, and both guys having the ability also to try to help out against the run. We saw a lot of those snaps over the weekend with those guys in that formation. It's something I don't think any of us had really originally thought about, but maybe we should have, because that gives the Giants a lot of speed on that defense. And as these teams try to exploit these multiple passing threats and combinations, the Giants look like they've got an idea about what they might do against it.
Interesting. 201-939-4513. Another thing that I had read, interesting, if you had caught this, was I guess over the weekend, Perry Fuel and this defense kind of showed this hybrid 4-3-3-4 defense.
Yeah, see, they've been standing up one of the defensive linemen a lot over the course of the weekend as well. And, you know, we've seen that occasionally. Not a lot, but we have seen it occasionally around here, especially from different defensive coordinators, not necessarily Perry Fuel, but he's mixed it in there every once in a while. Tuck, a lot of times, has been the guy standing up. But, you know, it could be anybody. Could be Kiwi, obviously. And that creates that hybrid 3-4 look. One of the other things, though, Anita, that I thought was very interesting about what he's done with that front seven and that defensive line is we started seeing, I think it was on Friday or Saturday, a lot of Cullen Jenkins, who was brought here to be a defensive tackle, sliding out to the left defensive end position and playing a lot of snaps as a defensive end, and then they were putting Sean Rogers next to him at defensive tackle with Linval Joseph. And so suddenly that defensive line was getting bigger. And I wonder if that's because they plan on using Cullen Jenkins potentially as the third defensive end in the Kiwanuka and Tuck rotation. Maybe they think against stronger, more physical running teams that might be the way to go, because it's a different skill set to play defensive tackle and defensive end. Not every guy can flop those positions. Some guys can, some guys can't. The Giants have a bunch of guys who can. Kiwi can do it. Tuck can do it. It looks like Cullen Jenkins can do it. That's a pretty cool thing for Perry Fuel to have.
201-939-4513. Let's go to New Jersey. Eli's calling in. He wants to talk about Hakeem Nicks as well. Eli, welcome.
Hey, what's up? How are you guys?
Eli, you got to get ready for practice. What are you doing on the phone?
Right? I just wanted to make a quick point about my receiver, Hakeem Nicks.
Go ahead.
All right. I understand why everyone's, like, nervous about his little, like, Nicks and injuries and stuff that he keeps getting. But I just have, like, my opinion is that, like, I have a gut feeling that, I don't know, I think, like, in the contract, playing for a contract and everything, he has something to prove this year. And I think he's going to have, like, an amazing year, and it will all go well. And he's going to prove to everyone again why he's one of the best receivers in the league. I just wanted to know what you think about that.
All right, well, thanks for the call, Eli. Anita, I'm going to ask you this. You've seen Hakeem Nicks perform now for a number of years here. I've got some target numbers in mind for him, and I think the bad news is, because of all the weapons we've talked about on this offense, even though he's going to be very explosive, very dynamic, he's going to be a big part of this offense, he's going to make huge plays, I still think he's the number one receiver here. I think his yardage, he'll be over 1,000. I could see him catching 9 to 10 touchdown passes, but I wouldn't be shocked if he does that in the context of maybe only 60 to 65 catches. I don't think he's going to be an 80-catch guy or a 75-catch guy because there's only one ball. And between Cruz and Myers and Nix and you know, Murphy and Wilson trying to run the ball and Andre Brown saying, give me the ball, I want to run too, there's only one ball. I mean, it's going to be hard, I think, for anybody to catch 90 balls on this offense.
I understand, but at the same time, if you look across the board, Hakeem Nix is still your number one offensive threat.
Right.
Okay, so I'm kind of looking at this, and you're absolutely right that there's only one ball, and now that there's a plethora of talent around Eli Manning for him to distribute the ball. But more importantly, I think with the amount of talent that's going to be on the scrimmage line, defenses are going to have to play honest, more honest than they ever have against Hakeem Nix, which I think is going to open him up more than we've ever seen in the past before.
So how many balls do you think he catches?
I probably think more than you think he will. What did you say?
65?
I wouldn't be. I'd say 80. Maybe
80.
Not, I'd say maybe not 90. I'd say 80.
Well, now twice in his 4-year career to this point, this will be his fifth year, he's caught like about, I think he's been in the 70s twice.
But how many games did he miss?
He missed a couple games in both of those years.
Okay. I don't anticipate Hakeem Nix to miss any games this year.
I hope not. But so you're going to say he'll still get his normal allotment like when he was the Pro Bowl caliber Hakeem Nix.
So if I was to say 80, you'd say over or under?
I'm going to say under there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then if I say 1,000 yards, are you going to say over or under?
I'm saying over. I think he can put up 1,100 yards in 65 catches. I don't think that's too much to ask from him.
And if I say 9 touchdowns, are you going to say over or under?
I'm not touching that one because I think 9 is a pretty good number. I think 9 or 10. So I'd probably go over if you put a gun in my head.
Okay. 201-939-4513. Just going back to the defensive ends before we did get the call. And by the way, again, with you for the next 30 minutes, Big Blue Kickoff Live, also on Twitter at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. What's the latest on Jason Pierre-Paul? What have you did? Any kind of update over the weekend?
Yeah, you know, I saw Jason the other day, and he says he's feeling okay. He's walking around here. But the bottom line is, the only status report that we really have on him was the one that he himself gave us last week when he said he was at 75%. And Tom Coughlin said, you know, it's very optimistic and very aggressive to think that he'll be ready for opening night. There's no way I see him playing in the preseason. I just don't see it. If they're lucky enough to get him back on the practice field to where he can do anything, you know, by the end of the month, I think that in itself would be good news. To me, Anita, the question about JPP and his back is, do you realistically believe that he can be of some help in a game by week 3? If he can, you keep him on the 53, you bring him along, and then you put him out there when he's ready to go. If you don't think he can, quite frankly, you got to do what you did with Chris Candy last year. Chris Candy told me last season he thought he could be back by week 4, and he was hoping they wouldn't pup him, realizing that would cost him 6 games. And he said to me, no, I think I could be back by 4. I said, yeah, but Chris, if you're thinking 4, that's not too far away from 6. They need the roster spot. They're going to pup you, and you're just going to have to deal with that because they're going to say it's close enough to 6 where we'll just do it. That's the question that has to be asked about JPP right now. Not if he's going to be ready for week 1 against Dallas, but is he going to be ready?
And you're saying week 3, week 4 is the deciding factor. If the Giants and the Giants medical staff feel that he can be ready in week 3, you feel that they will not pup him.
Bingo.
So week 3, week 4, if it's 4 or 5, then they would.
I agree.
Interesting. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Maryland. Big Ed is joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Big Ed, welcome.
Hello. How are you doing today? Hello. Great. Oh, this question, how's the special teams looking? That's my question for today. How's the special teams looking?
It's hard to say because, look, they're not hitting. It's flag football. And what's the biggest part of special teams besides speed, obviously? It's guys knocking heads and getting down there and making hits and making tackles. It's impossible to tell you how the special teams are looking other than Weatherford is Weatherford, and he punts the way he punts, and, you know, that's not going to change. He's very good at it. And Josh Brown is a steady, reliable veteran who, quite frankly, has stats that mirror Lawrence Tynes's, and so you pretty much know what you got with him. He's got a proven track record and a very good resume, so there's really nothing to say there. We're gonna need to see preseason games to find out what's going on with these return guys, because they're trying a whole bunch of guys back there in practice, and what can you really tell? You know, until the bullet's alive, anybody can stand back there and catch a high pop football. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. Got to get some action in. Totally understand. Very exciting. This is going to be a good game against Pittsburgh. What are we looking at when it's Pittsburgh game? Is Eli going to sit this one out?
Oh, I think he might play a series or two, but that's about it. You know, they want to get more snaps for Nassib on the back end of that quarterback competition. I don't think it's a real competition. I think they're going to keep three. But Carr's obviously going to get some time, and I think they're going to try to get Nassib as many snaps as they can in the second half.
Yeah,
but we'll find out from Tom Coughlin. I haven't really talked to him about the play selection yet.
Yeah, it's great.
Thanks, Ed.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Anita. Great talking to you guys. See you this week.
Have a great day. Interesting. Big Ed said he's excited for the... I don't get excited for preseason games. I just don't. I don't. I can't. If there was one, obviously it's game three because your starters play the majority of the time. Granted, if you're a real, true, big football fan and you do follow the matchups and the battles and the guys that are on the bubble, obviously those games kind of matter more so. But... What's the one thing in the Pittsburgh Steeler game? What's the one thing you're going to be most looking forward to? What is Paul Dottino's eye going to be on?
Wow, you know me better than that. There's going to be more than one. I'm going to be looking.
Well,
at
I
both.
Said what's the one most?
Most?
Yes.
Most is going to be. I want to watch. I'm going to watch the kick returns, the kickoff returns and the punt returns. I would have told you the right tackle spot had Justin Pugh not come down with a concussion at the end of last week, because I don't know when he's going to be able to get back to practicing again. And if he can't practice this week, they're certainly not going to put him in there against the Steelers. And that's a problem for me, because if Deal's only going to see a series or two right now as the starter, you're not going to be able to see a lot there. And then Pugh is probably not going to play. At least if I had to put any money on it now, if he doesn't practice, they're not going to put him in. That's the thing I would have wanted to see more than anything else, Anita. And I'm afraid right now I might not be allowed to see that because of his availability. So I'm going to tell you the punt returns and the kickoff returns would be the thing that I'd be most focused on today.
You mean on Saturday?
Well, today that would be my answer.
Okay. Okay, so what do we know about Justin Pugh exactly? How did he get the concussion?
We don't know. They were inside the other day. It was supposed to be a full pads practice. They had to go inside because of the rain. And nobody seemed to think that there was anything wrong. And then apparently after practice, you know, he told Coach Coughlin he had a bit of a headache. Woke up the next morning, really was not feeling well. So clearly he had gotten dinged somehow during the indoors practice the night before or the day before. And so they gave him the NFL protocol concussion tests, and guess what? They found out Justin Pugh has a concussion. And so now he's got to sit out, and he can't even practice, can't do anything at all on the field until he passed the appropriate tests that allow him to get out there again. And I got to think, obviously, you're going to be very careful with the guy, and you're not going to rush him back for sure. And even if he is ready right away, you know, is it fair now that he's missed some time and missed some of those snaps, is it fair to throw him right in against the Steelers? Probably not. I hope he's healthy. I hope he's fine. I hope he gets to take some snaps. I want to see him play. But this isn't about what I want to see. It's about the kid's health.
Let's head back to our phone lines, 201-939-4513. Shakes joins us from Baltimore, Maryland. Shakes, welcome.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Football week, I'm getting very excited. very excited. The things that I want to watch in this preseason game is it's a lot of things I wanted to watch. Of course, I wanted to watch my boy. I've been yelling and screaming about all season since we signed him, Aaron Curry. I want to see him fly around, do something, man. Just show me something. Just show me that you can stay on this team, stick, and make some plays for this team.
Shakes, Aaron Curry's been a mixed bag so far. He had a really nice interception on a crossing route the other day, read it beautifully, stepped in, made the play, and everybody was really excited for him. But then Adrian Robinson roasted him on a crossing pattern yesterday. He lost him by about two or three steps, and it was like, oh, boy, that's not too cool. So it's really been a mixed bag so far. And as I will tell you, I talked to Perry Fuel last week about Curry in particular, and he said, you know, I see something there. There's definitely talent and ability. It's a matter of, can he scrape off all the rust in time? Can he put it together to be consistent enough to give us enough that we need to keep him on this team? He's in a real show-me situation in these preseason games.
Hey, Paul, remember draft night, and we didn't draft a linebacker? And I called and I said, what are we, allergic to linebackers?
Yeah, I do.
Alright, you remember that. Okay, so do you remember we drafted DeMontre Moore, and I said, okay, well, I kind of smiled when we drafted him. Because I seen him play. I think he's good. I heard a lot of things about him even before we drafted him, so I was very happy when we drafted DeMontre, so I'm very interested to see him play. I want to see Cooper Taylor play. I want to see... I really wanted to see how Pugh did, but I don't think we're going to be able to see that. But I also want to see who's going to step up in the pass protecting as running back. If that person is not on this team right now, we need to pick him up.
I hear you, but you're not going to be able to do that till the final cut, because I don't think anybody worthwhile is going to be in the first round of NFL cuts. You're going to have to wait till the second round to be able to get somebody who really has enough to make a difference. Shakes, appreciate the phone call. Thank you.
All right. All right, man.
201-939-4513. Also, just to make a quick note, I know we talked about Hakeem Nicks. He's back today.
Supposedly. We got to still see. But
no,
we think so.
I heard him on another radio station this
morning.
Did? Yeah. He's like,
good.
Yeah, he's in.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Justin Pugh, we talked about his concussion. Really some question marks. Not sure if he's going to participate today. But what about Webby? Chris?
Corey Webster had a little bit of a tight groin the other day. Was on the bike, missed practice. Again, that's a day-to-day thing.
Okay.
I don't know if we're going to see him or not, but it's not something I'd worry about.
And in his absence, Aaron Ross has stepped up and has performed nicely. Also, Prince Amukamara, as exciting and as electric Ruben Randle has been, Prince Amukamara has been as well.
He has been the star of the defense in training camp. Not only making some interceptions, but he's been very physical. He's been knocking balls down left and right. He's been getting into receivers' faces. He's been the one who's been more animated, more jacked up, and almost, I hate to say this, Anita, because again, it's flag football, but he's playing at another level. I mean, it's almost like he's just way, way up here, and everybody else is down here.
Well, you know, pretty interesting. I did have a conversation with Prince last week, and so I said, "Hey," I said, "Prince, how was your off season? How are you doing?" And he had this big smile on his face, and he said, "I'm engaged." And I said, "Good for you." I said, "That is great news." And he was grinning from ear to ear, and he just looked so happy. Probably the happiest I've seen him since he's been here. And also, I had read an article last week as well about him kind of fitting in with the team. Keep in mind, Prince, little young, little immature, and I think it's been a process here with him fitting in with the team and the team kind of respecting him as more than just that little brother.
I agree.
And so I think and where I'm going with all this is I think a lot of times for professional athletes, Paul, things that take place and transpire off the field and provide a great environment help a player on the field. And what I'm seeing now, and not to take anything away with the fact that this is Prince's third year, right? Third year.
Yeah.
3 years under his belt, understanding, knowing the system, being a starting corner, not really worrying about having to compete in a system where with Perry Fuel and the guys that he's playing with, it all that comes into play. But don't underestimate when a player off the field in his personal life, and it's good, and it's healthy, and it's exciting, and they're happy, how that affects a player, how he plays on the field. And I think that's another element to Prince's game right now.
Well, I agree with you, Anita, because quite honestly, you'll hear every athlete tell you that confidence is a big part of what they do. It's not just confidence in the playbook, but it's confidence in themselves. And if you're feeling good when you walk out of the facility, and then you feel good the next morning when you come back to the facility, your confidence factor is just going to be sky high. And that's before you even open the playbook and get out on the field. So I'm with you 1,000%. He's a different guy right now. And the Giants are the better for it. And you know what? I'm going to throw something else into the mix. Your old buddy Sam Madison here during the course of training camp kind of helping out with the corners. The guy's infectious. He's enthusiastic. He's always getting out there screaming his head off. And it's always positive, and it's always energetic, and it's always the kind of thing that you can feed off of. And I think that Sam has also been a very big help to Prince, and I know the other corners feel the same way.
201-939-4513. The phone number, about 10 more minutes for Paul Dottino and I. Big Blue Kickoff live. Then players will be made available a little bit later on this afternoon around 11:30, 11:40. And then practice kicks off at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. Beautiful weather today. Pads. The guys are going to be live. And so this is a great day for Giants fans to make their way out here to New Jersey to take in a little Giants practice. Let's head back out to our phone lines. We've got Lynn calling in from Maryland. Lynn, welcome.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Game week. Game week, finally. Next week we can start talking about how people did in under real game conditions.
And that will
pretty
be a pleasure,
exciting.
Lynn. No question about it.
Well, we got hopefully 6 months in front of us of being able to talk about how Big Blue did in a regular football game. I'm excited. I can't wait for this all to get started. Even though it's a preseason game on Saturday night, we get to see some of the kids. And Paul, and I guess Anita, too, you can relate to this. You know, my own personal feeling, I never like to play the Steelers. The Steelers are always ready physically. They're going to treat the game the same way the Giants do. Roethlisberger's not going to play much, maybe one series. And we're going to see a lot of kids on the field. But one thing we know about their kids, and this goes back pre-Chuck Noll, Paul, those kids are going to play hard. They're going to be ready. I hope we're physically and mentally ready to play a football game. There's going to be a lot of bumps and bruises. I don't consider the Steelers to be a dirty team. Don't get me wrong. Just very physical and ready to play. And if you're not ready to play, you're not going to be there the next week.
Well, Mike Tomlin's that kind of coach. I mean, that's
the
way that organization is.
It goes all the way back. I mean, it predates Chuck Noll.
It does. And so,
I mean, that's just the...
I agree with
you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I agree with you. This is a good preseason game to play because you're going to know right out of the gate some of these guys who are really in it to win it and some of these guys who may fall by the wayside. Anita has a phrase a lot of times that she uses about separating the boys from the men. And you could say that when you get the full pads on, but you can really say that when you start cracking against another team.
Well, Anita knows all that from her years in Baltimore and seeing those Steelers-Ravens games. She knows what it's like to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, Paul, one comment, and this is not meant to be argumentative, but on the Cullen-Jenkins experiment, do you think that's a hint that maybe Pierre Paul isn't ready and isn't going to be ready till week six?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it. Why wouldn't it be? You have to believe that the reason they're taking some snaps with Cullen at defensive end is because they're thinking, okay, Kiwi Tuck, Cullen Jenkins maybe in that three defensive end rotation might be something that we might have to use and we want to be ready for. I mean, look, I don't care if JPP passes every medical test known to mankind and he's able to get out there for week one against Dallas. How do you know what his durability is going to be? You don't. So do you want to get caught with your pants down and not have anybody prepared to step into the rotation?
Well, no. The answer to that would be no.
There
but
you go.
My first thought was that's. I mean, there's no reason to be playing Cullen Jenkins out there unless we've got a, you know, we see a problem come opening night.
You just got to be ready.
That would be an awfully. Yeah. You got to be ready. So I agree. One more point, and I hope our good friend Shake isn't listening when I say this. Aaron Curry's going to have a tough time. I mean, we're talking about the sixth linebacker slot. I can't see them keeping seven.
No.
Even think maybe they drop to five. But let's just talk about that sixth spot and this guy Bosworth, who I guess is the challenge. If you're the sixth linebacker, Paul, and you know this, and Nita too, you got to be able to play special teams. Or you, I mean, there's no use being on the roster. There's no use being on a 53 if you're the sixth linebacker unless you can play special teams. And I don't think that's Aaron Curry's. He's not going to start. I mean, I just don't think he is. And I don't know. I think Curry's going to have a tough time.
He does. He's got his work cut out for him. But, again, if he lights it up in the preseason, it's going to be hard to cut him.
Yeah. Tough break with Pugh. I hope he can get back on the field, but I agree with you. I don't know if he's ready to play any downs on Saturday night against the Steelers, and I hope this doesn't set him back in his, you know, quest to be the starting right tackle or even to be, as we talked about last week, Paul, the first tackle off the bench.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't set him back too much.
No, I agree. I hope not either. Len, thank you so much.
Okay.
And I want you to just stay to your computer now. We're going to hang up on you, but I want to stay right next to your computer because I want to ask Anita about something that's going to be dear to your heart. The 1958 NFL
Good.
Championship game, the Giants and the Colts play in the greatest game ever played. Len, we'll talk to you again soon. And Artie
Thank
Donovan
you very much.
Passed away.
Artie Donovan.
And Len, we'll talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Artie Donovan. Artie was a good friend of mine.
And I know that's why I want to ask you.
Yeah, when I hosted Sports Talk Radio in Baltimore, I was there for 4 years. And so we'd have Artie come into studio because the radio show was simulcast on the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network, so it had a TV element. And so I broadcast from 2 to 6:30 Monday through Friday. And so because it had a TV element, we always wanted to get people inside the studio as opposed to just on the phone. And so Artie would come in, and he would just be an absolute hoot. Just salt of the earth, just an absolutely sweet guy, funny as all get out, and just was fantastic. And, you know, as he got older, you know, still followed the game, knew a lot about the game, followed the Ravens, and just really, really neat and really fun having him in studio. So Godspeed, God bless, and my heart goes out to their family because that's another thing. He had a tremendous family. When he'd come in studio, he'd bring his wife in and his grandchildren, and so he had a tremendous family. And, you know, obviously I never watched Artie Donovan play, but I saw film and I had heard stories from Tom Maddie and Bruce Laird and all of those guys. And so I can only imagine what a phenomenal teammate he must have been for those guys.
What a genuine guy, at least from afar, Anita. You could tell me better, but it seemed as though what you saw is what you got with him. There was no facade.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's so cool. And I don't think we have enough of those kinds of guys today. Guys today are so concerned about their image. Artie Donovan didn't care, you know, if his crew cut looked bad that day or if he misspoke or if for whatever reason, you know, his shirt didn't match his belt. He was just a real guy. And I love those kinds of guys. And I'm sad, not because I was a friend of Artie Donovan's, but because to me, there's another link to that nostalgic past, which I feel so enamored with. You know, that 58 championship game, the Giants and the Colts, which is the greatest game ever played, it turned the entire course of modern pro football history around. And you think about how many guys are gone and how few guys are left from that game, from that era. And all of them, whether they were Giants or Colts, I have had such a great time over my career here broadcasting Giants football of meeting those guys, both sides of the ball. And Artie, of course, is, like you say, he's just the salt of the earth. But those guys from years gone by, you know, you hate to lose them because they bring so much to the table as people, not just with the nostalgia, but as people, salt of the earth, old school people. Anyway, I wanted to just get that in there.
Okay. 201-939-4513. Let's get one more call in before we do sign off for the day. And it's Mike calling in from Virginia. Mike, welcome.
Sorry to upset it, but I was trying to figure out what your guys' opinion was. Instead of figuring out who were the starting linebackers for the season, I wanted to figure out who you guys thought that was going to get cut out of all these decent linebackers that we got. And I'll take the compound out there.
Who's going to be cut? Well,
yeah.
First thing you got to do is figure out, are they going to go with six, which they probably would like to do, okay? You're going to go with Pasinger and Williams, Herzlake, Rivers, that's four. You think Connor's probably going to be five. And now who's number six? Is it Bosworth because he can also play special teams? Or is it Curry if he lights it up in the standard defensive set? Do they say, you know what, this guy's just too good to get rid of. We may need him during the course of the season. All right, so maybe he can't play specials all that well. We'll find somebody else to go out there and play specials. If Curry is just jamming up the run left and right in the preseason, it's going to be hard for the Giants to cut him. He's going to have a chance to show it, but he better show it on each and every snap that he's in there because there are only four preseason games, and he's going to have to prove to them that he's that good against the run to stay because, as you know, Tom Coughlin's number one mission this year was to fix the run defense.
Let's talk about the running game briefly. I know we've got another caller, so we're going to get to you in a hot second. But a lot of people are making a big deal about the whole David Wilson / Andre Brown being listed as like 1A and 1B, that it's not David Wilson 1 and Andre Brown 2. Talk about this backfield. What have you seen so far, and what are you anticipating going into the regular season? I'm not looking at this as a battle in any sense, but is this going to be like a 1-2 punch, a committee back there as opposed to the David Wilson show?
Well, I think that's the way Tom Coughlin and Kevin Gilbride probably envision it. I don't think that they necessarily want one guy or the other to have a plethora more of carries. However, Anita, what it's going to come down to, and you and I both know this, it's still a pass protection situation for both guys. It's still knowing how to run your routes when you got to get out into the flat. Eli Manning was telling me that, you know, one of the things that he's got to be confident of is whoever's back there with him in the backfield, he's got to know that they're running the right outlet because they might wind up being the check down. And he needs to know that, okay, my safety valve is truly my safety valve. I can't be looking at him if he's my third option, and then he's not there. So they got to get a lot of other stuff down. And Brown's a little better right now than Wilson is at those things, but obviously Wilson's the more dynamic, big play, home run hitter. So these guys are going to determine their own playing time by what they show in other areas of the game. It's not just running the ball. And that's why I continue to say to you, and I think you agree, there is certainly an opportunity here for someone to sneak onto this roster right before opening day. There could be somebody sitting on somebody's roster somewhere else around this league that's going to wind up being a Giant. Now, he'd be the third string running back. He's not going to be a big part of this offense, but he may wind up working himself in if the Giants' current guys don't prove they can carry the load.
All right, let's go to Virginia. We have James. James, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hello, James.
Hello, how you doing?
We're well. How are you?
How you doing? I'm okay. I just wanted to talk about the defense and Connor. How's he looking?
Dan Connor?
Yes,
well,
sir.
He's running right now behind Mark Herzlich at middle linebacker, although they had no practice yesterday. On Sunday, Connor did take some first-team snaps. And that was a little bit unusual because we had seen Herzlich basically handle most of the first team, if not all of it, prior. And Connor, for the first time since, I guess, the OTAs, got a chance to take some first-team reps. Now, you know, James, appreciate the phone call. Again, that's a competition that has to be played out. You know, Mark Herzlich has been given the chance to get back into this mix after he did not play well in his cameos last year. The coaching staff has said, Mark, here it is. It's on a silver platter. If you want to win this job, you can win this job. But you damn well better show it because we got a veteran who knows what he's doing behind you, and he'd be more than happy to play if you're not going to get it done. I love the competition on this team. Anita, I got to be honest with you. Now, you and I have worked together for 4 years. I don't know that we've gone into a summer camp with as much competition in as many spots as the Giants have right now. And the coach loves that because usually that brings out the best in somebody.
Well, again, Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, we're back with you on Thursday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, right here, 9:30 to 10:30, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Are you on tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'm on with John.
Okay, so Paul Dottino and John Schmelk will be on tomorrow. Keep in mind, getting you ready for the NFL season, we kick it off every day right here on Giants.com, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Phone number 201-939-4513. You can follow the Giants on Twitter. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to do that. Giants made available to the media today around 11:30, 11:40, and then practice kicks off at 1:30. Stay tuned to Giants.com for great video, great insight, great interviews. And don't forget the MSG show that airs, Giants Training Camp Live, that airs tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Bob Papa and Carl Banks will be hosting that show. So any other news and notes before we sign off?
No, I think the only other thing you need to know, folks, again, full pads. I think Anita said that two or three times during the show. This is one of those practices you want to come out and see, because when they're in full pads, that's when you're going to get at least some semblance of hitting. It's the closest thing you're going to get during flag football training camp to having a real practice. And so we certainly invite you to come out today if you haven't already made plans.
Also, Little Birdie just threw me a note saying that Terrell Thomas and Chris Knee are off the pup. And Terrell Thomas are off the pup.
Can I extend us for 30 seconds here? I got to make a comment about this.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Chris Knee has been running on the side, and he's been doing very, very well. Told me he wanted to play in at least two preseason games. He's coming back off of a hip injury during the offseason. Has looked very, very good on the side. So that's not shocking to me. But Terrell Thomas, now that's big news. Because when Tom Coughlin addressed Terrell Thomas last week, Terrell Thomas has been on the side, had not been able to do anything at practice, had said to us all during the offseason he was optimistic, hoping he would be able to, thought he was ahead of schedule, but knew they were going to play it slow. Well, Tom Coughlin the other day said, we were kind of hoping, but it really hasn't happened yet. And until he's really ready, we're not going to put him out there, and it's a bit disappointing that he's not ready. So this news is really big for Terrell Thomas, that he's going to be able to get out there and practice today. You asked me about what I'm going to be watching. Guess what? Today, Anita, I'm watching Terrell Thomas.
There you go. So another reason why you should come out to Giants camp. Practice, 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. Have a great week. Have a great day. And we'll be back tomorrow.